Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
It's the NBA draft. There are nothing but all sorts of conjecture and a lot of people throwing stuff at the wall at this point, and we'll see how that plays out. But I want to get on with it. You know, I want to see different from the Bulls. And what does that mean? Does that mean just strictly a different player as opposed to somebody you thought might be a decent player but hasn't worked out and has had injury issues? I just want different. I just want to see something different. I want to see progress.
The mix likely to change, and whether that's Wendell Carter being on the move or Zach LaVine. I don't know that I've seen many rumors involving him, but open mind, because you got a fresh set of eyes and a new perspective looking at the mix. All sorts of rumors. This is a league that has not been able to make a trade up until 48 hours ago, and then the lid was off, and now you're hearing all the rumors. Gordon Hayward, you see him possibly on the move. Kemba Walker being rumored. You see all sorts of different kind of names. Big names. Russell Westbrook still there. James Harden wanting to go to the Nets to engineer that deal. Going to be an active night for NBA fans, and I think a lot of people looking forward to see how it affects the Bulls, because we don't know much about AK. We don't know much about Eversley, and we know about Billy Donovan, but he's not making the final call tonight.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A glorious morning in the fine city of Chicago. It is Thursday, November 19th, and we have a new young stud superstar coming to town. Well, all right. We have another player for the Bulls. Let's go.
Morning, Mully.
How are you, David?
Thursday.
We don't know much about. We don't know enough about Patrick Williams. We don't. We need to know more.
Yes. Of the Patrick Williams era, actually, right?
Okay.
With the Bulls, okay. Or we can say it's a continuation of Arturis Karnišovas and what he brings to the Bulls, and I think that we learned a lot about him last night. We wanted to go in. We went in curious, and I think he answered some questions. We now know that AK also stands for all-knowing, because he knows things about Patrick Williams that he feels comfortable and confident with and about, that maybe other people are wondering about. So they drafted him with conviction, and you've got to respect that, and that's where we start.
I think it was CBS Sports. I saw someplace online that had to do those immediate grades. My God, is that an awful assignment for anyone? We've both been forced to do things like that. And you want to talk about, an exercise in futility. It's trying to figure out what a player is going to be when he's 19 years old. And he just turned 19 years old. But to make a long story short, after some A pluses in draft picks, the fine folks at CBS Sports, and there were two writers, and I apologize for not remembering their names, but they're probably delighted that I don't, because that's a fool's errand.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
C minus was the grade they gave the Bulls, with a comment about how they could have traded down and gotten the player. I got to tell you, it's an impossibility trying to define or figure out, you know, just because a guy has a big name or you might like a guy and he's taken 10th or 12th, That doesn't mean he can play. That doesn't mean that they made the right decision or the wrong decision. Yeah. It's a terrible thing to have to do, but you can't help but look at stuff like that when you're evaluating who the Bulls took in Patrick Williams.
People are going to jump to conclusions, certainly, and maybe they were just reading Twitter, Bulls Twitter, and they decided to come to a grade that way because, you know, Mully, until the Bulls drafted Patrick Williams, I didn't realize the ACC network was so popular in Chicago because apparently everybody's got it, and they're experts on the sixth man of the year, who he did win that award as an 18-year-old. But I know that's fair, I guess, because you want to jump to conclusions. You want to form your opinions quickly. But I think the NBA draft, more than any others, maybe hockey is more similar there because, you know, we're conditioned. The NFL draft, you pick somebody, especially at number four, and you want to plug them in immediately, right? Even quarterbacks are playing quicker than ever.
Yes.
And I just think, you know, last night I was, again, reminded and somewhat astounded at how young these guys are. And they are teenagers, and Patrick Williams was the youngest American-born player, I think, in the draft. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of skepticism that I understand. We'll hear from AK at 8 o'clock, and he'll explain it, and he did it well last night when he met with reporters finally. But the Bulls got their guy, and I think that they I don't want to say fixated on him, but it seemed like they were definitely committed to draft Patrick Williams and all the other names that we had discussed. I don't think they took them as seriously as they did this kid.
I think there were two things that I learned last night after the draft pick from doing my research. And I tried to keep up with the draft stuff. I just enjoy it. And it's been a weird year, David, because we had no backstory for a lot of these guys, right?
It's, right.
And I'm not talking about the European players that we never really know a lot about, although you hear their names and you read their stories and it's fascinating. But I'm talking about, we didn't get to see an NCAA tournament. We don't have this like kind of one shining moment with a lot of these guys, and we don't know. You know, I'm as I'm sitting there in front of the television, I forget what round it was, in the second round. I forget what pick it was, but somebody said something that the evaluation of the player was something along the lines: had he been in the NCAA tournament, he might have really jumped up the board. This could be a good pick. There's that out there. We don't know what might have happened or who might have had their one shining moment. And because players didn't, I think it's difficult to look at it. But two things that I loved that I heard about Patrick Williams, and I'd love to get your take on it. The first, San Antonio loved him. They were in love with him, and they were hoping to take him, and they really, really had a deep-rooted commitment to this player had he been falling. The other, it's connected. The term used was a poor man's Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought, that's a happy thing to hear.
Well, that is definitely, I mean, you like to hear that comparison, a poor man's Kawhi Leonard. I saw another comparison reading up on him to Draymond Green, which I think both are compliments. Right. And I also had the same sort of inclination when I saw the Spurs kind of, you know, they liked him and they coveted him a little bit. They weren't in a position to get him because he wasn't going to drop. But when you hear Greg Popovich liked a player, it's almost the NFL equivalent of Belichick, right? You think, okay, that's a stamp of approval because this is a guy that you want on your roster. A lot of intangibles, a lot of athleticism. There's a lot to like about Patrick Williams because of, you know, how much he has to grow and develop. And that is what this regime is about with Karnišovas, is player development. And now they have their guy. And Mully, and we'll get into this a lot later, but I think generally speaking, what did fans, like, everything about the old regime was rejected, right? They wanted change. They wanted to hit reset the way Michael Reinsdorf did during the pandemic. The old Bulls regime, as much as anything on draft night, with due respect, they've drafted fairly well, but the old regime favored guys with the so-called high floors, right, and predictable ceilings, the conventional approach. This isn't that. This is not that. Patrick Williams is about the high floor and, you know, if you want, and the low floor and the high ceiling.
Right.
Because he comes in without having accomplished a lot in college. He doesn't have the 3 years of starting and doesn't have a lot of the profile of guys who come in that the Bulls, frankly, have drafted before. So this is different, and this is Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley and Billy Donovan to a lesser degree saying, you know what, believe in the way we evaluate players, believe in what we know, because we know.
Yeah, I think that I think this was a scout's draft for the reasons that we talked about. This is a draft where you had to sift through a lot of information. You had to go back, and so much of this stuff is about the background of a player. So much of understanding who a guy is. You know, we always talk about this idea when you draft someone, they are going to have two things that they never had before in their lives. They're going to have time, because they're coming to a city and they're living someplace and they're going to be on their own and they're going to have time on their hands and they're going to have money. And these are things that players don't have usually as they're growing up. They don't have a ton of time left to them and their own device, and they don't have tons of money. And now all of a sudden you go to immediate millionaire with all this time on your hands. How are you going to handle it? So you look at the background of a player. You try to find out who he surrounds himself with and how he goes about his business. In other words, is he going to devote himself to improving his game? Is he going to take his profession seriously? Does he love the game? And I think that when you look at Patrick Williams, all these things really are kind of shining lights. You know, comes from a good family. A guy that you know, they did that little feature of him working in his mom's flower shop.
That was great.
A buddy of mine texted me like, really? You got the flower boy? And I'm like, I love that. I love that the guy had a job and learned something about how to take care, how to do that job correctly, how to make sure you got the heat on for some flowers and off for other. I know that sounds crazy, but I think it's wonderful that he's got that kind of a background.
It was so great. That was the best thing I saw about him. I swear to God, it was the greatest thing I saw about the kid all night.
I loved
Patrick Williams, ready to blossom. Definitely. Those are the kind of things that matter on draft night. I mean, those are the kind of intangibles they research, and they get to know these kids, and they are kids. I thought it was interesting, too, that AK suggested that they were ready for this draft in June, right? They were ready for things to happen, and they, it sounded like they had identified him early. They kept a pretty tight lid on the information, and there was a lot of misinformation out there, as there typically is on draft night, and they never planned and never considered trading up, as we talked about yesterday. They could have probably, you know, let's face it, they probably could have traded down and still gotten him at a point maybe in the top 10. But they didn't. They wanted to get the guy at number four that they felt like fit in. He's positionless. As they say, he fits in the modern NBA. He can guard four positions. He can play three offensively. He gives them a lot of versatility, and there is a lot to like about his athleticism and about his intangibles. And the Bulls, I think, I wouldn't give them a C-minus at all. I hate the idea of grading them. But I think that there's a lot of reasons for optimism after seeing the way they handled the draft last night.
And they in the second round, they did have a second round pick. What was it, 44th overall? They took Marko Simanović, who is a Montenegrin player, not to be confused with the Serbian player of the same name. How about that
for
a fun fact? That was hilarious. But he is one of these draft and stash players, so he's not expected to immediately come over here. 6'11 guy, and we'll ask AK a question about him as well when we get a chance to pick it apart. But you're not holding your breath waiting for. I don't think he's Joker, but I don't know. Maybe he got another Joker.
And the reason you mentioned that is because when Bulls fans furiously Googled during the commercial break, because it wasn't live on ESPN or during the draft, the first name that comes up when you get when you Google Marko Simanović is somebody born in 1986.
Yeah.
So it's an international player who was like 34 years old. And like, what in the world? And it was funny. The Bulls' Twitter account, they tweeted out, said he's 21. So they got the joke. They were in on it. And Molly, it was my favorite draft night verb. It's sort of hyphenated. Draft and stash. I love that.
I love it.
Draft and stash in Europe.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a great term. And the Bulls have had success with draft and stash. They certainly managed to get a pretty good player out of that formula earlier. And again, I'm not going to call Patrick Williams Scottie Pippen, and I'm not going to call Marko Simonovic anybody other than the Montenegrin that he is. All right, we've got a ton to get to. The Klay Thompson suffered a lower leg injury. The fear is awful. He got an MRI. The fear is that he blew out his Achilles.
It's awful. Awful news yeah. for the NBA.
Oh, bad for the league. No question. Yeah. And I always think of his brother, who, of course, was a White Sox prospect. So every once in a while, you'd see Klay Thompson.
There's the Sox connection.
There
and, Mully,
go.
You know, the undrafted free agent point guard from Kansas, Devon Dotson, we'll talk
yes.
about it later. He's got a little
Local
Chicago
kid.
Connection
yes.
that I think is worth exploring.
The Bears are I'm just opening it up right now, David, so you can go ahead and take your shot. The Bears are bringing in former Notre Dame quarterback DeShone Kizer for a tryout, which unfortunately is a running joke between us because I really liked him coming out of the draft, and you have tormented me for
stifling stifling the chuckle.
Yeah, that was that was.
Can we talk about Matt Flynn too?
Yeah, I liked him too coming out. Same guy gave me both of them, by the
Same
way.
Guy. Seahawks like Matt Flynn a lot, too.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy made some money, if nothing else. The NFL is putting all the teams, every team, including the Bears, but all teams on intensive COVID protocols. We'll get into that. It's very interesting to see what's happening around the league. We've got big football game tonight. You got, do we call it Arizona at Seattle, or do we say it's you know, Murray versus Russ? I mean, I don't know how you want to break it down, but we'll get to it. Theo was on the Score yesterday. Great interview, if you didn't hear it, with Danny Parkins. And Will Perdue was sitting in, and I thought he asked a couple of good questions as well.
He really did.
Well. Yeah,
that was
really
fun to hear.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And the Cubs have moved their date for season ticket deposits. We got a new bench coach with the White Sox, Miguel Cairo, who was most recently a minor league infield coordinator with the Yankees. He's a Tony La Russa guy, played for him. And Robinson Cano, you won't have him to kick around next year. And we'll mention his suspension as well. We got tons to get into. We're going to talk about all of it. And we'll do that with the Pick 6 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick 6 with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. Pick 6 with Mullion Hall starts now.
Did you like the Bulls' selection of Patrick Williams with the number 4 pick in the NBA draft last night? Was it a reach for a guy who never started a game in college?
Yeah, you know, I understand the question. I do indeed like that pick, and you know, I give you a couple of reasons. Another reason that I like him is that his growth spurt came a little bit later. You got to love a guy. You know, anybody that has older brothers understands. He's got two older brothers who were 6'6", and he was just like a little guard, and he grew taller than them, but he grew up playing against guys that weren't necessarily shorter than him, if that makes any sense. He grew up as a ball handler, and then he had his growth spurt, so he saw the game differently. And anybody that understands, you know, what that is like to battle with older brothers, it usually makes you a significantly better competitor. So I like that idea. You know, is it a reach? Hey, look, you know, could they have gone down and gotten him? When you fall in love with a guy, when that's the guy you want, you take the guy. And I don't think we're going to look at this and remember it as a draft of a reach unless it doesn't work out. So I like the pick.
Yeah, I don't dislike the pick. I think it is a bit of a reach, but you have to, you know, give AK and his staff a little bit of a leeway here. I think when you have a new regime, this is a little bit of a honeymoon period, perhaps. Maybe their first pick, maybe they're entitled to a little bit of blind faith to ask for that, and for Bulls fans to give them the benefit of the doubt. Keep an open mind, because the NBA draft is all about this process, about going after these young guys who have very little experience, and they're teenagers in some cases. And I like what Leonard Hamilton, his college coach, said. He may not start games. He was asked about not starting and coming off the bench. He says no, but he finished them, and he was in there when it counted. And I'm not going to get too caught up on the fact that he didn't start. I mean, because you look around, even on the Bulls roster, you know who came off the bench for 36 games as a college freshman and averaged only 9 points in his only season of college basketball? Zach LaVine. He turned out pretty well. College production is not always a determinant of a professional success. So I think that right now, this morning, yeah, I like the way they went about it, because they can defend the pick and it fits into their plan.
Pick 6!
Given all the rumors and trade speculation surrounding the Bulls, were you disappointed, relieved, or indifferent that they did not pull off a deal?
I was relieved. I have to say that we talked yesterday at the end of the show about the possibility, the rumor, the report out there about moving up to number 2 to get Ball, LaMelo Ball, and having to give up an asset like Wendell Carter Jr., who, you know, I think you can have your opinion on how good he is and how much he's progressed, but I don't think you're in a position, if you're Arturis Karnišovas, to give up assets on a young roster that you want to build. So I was somewhat relieved. There was a lot of noise out there. That was one thing I think you expect on draft night, a lot of rumors. There weren't a lot of deals, and that was maybe a big surprise, but I was glad the Bulls stayed where they were, went with their plan, and didn't overreact to kind of move up for a player in a draft that I think widely regarded as one without superstars. And maybe that'll change, certainly. But, yeah, there was a sense of relief there.
I got to tell you, I felt all three. I felt disappointed that there wasn't the big deal. I felt relieved that they weren't just going to give away a player, because when you don't draft guys and you come in, there's that possibility. And then I kind of felt indifferent. Well, you know, what do I care about? I mean, it was just a weird combination of feelings as I was watching all of these players go off the board and speculating to myself about what the Bulls would or could or might do. I'm glad mad that Zach LaVine wasn't traded. I kept hearing his name all over the place, and I think that I think that when you look at their combination of players, look, I mean, let's be honest about it. Otto Porter Jr. opted in for whatever, $28.4 million, whatever amount of money it is. The Bulls don't have a lot of leeway. There's not a lot they can do. They kind of have their roster. They don't have a lot of room for a ton of players. So it made sense to me that that they didn't do that. There was part of me that wanted it to happen. But you know, ultimately, I feel like I want to see what this management group, what this coaching staff, how they go about developing players. I'm really interested in that.
Pick six! Wow!
Do you understand why the NFL is placing all its teams into intensive COVID-19 protocols for the rest of the season? How will players adapt to mandatory masks, including during practice and in the weight room? And how will John Gruden react?
We had to throw in a shot at John Gruden. I do understand why they're doing it. I think it's a really serious move. And I think there is going to be a period of time where you do adapt to wearing a mask all the time when you're a professional athlete. I mean, they're supposed to be wearing masks while they're practicing now, and they're supposed to be masking up if they're even lifting in the weight room. And that's, you know, you really need some social distance to catch your breath sometimes. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So I do think that it's going to take, it's going to be noticeable for the players. And Gruden, I suppose he's making enough money, he can just take the fine. That's what he does.
Thank goodness John Gruden now will wear his mask for more than just a chin diaper. Maybe that's a good idea. We can take shots at him because he's earned them. And how, we're 8 months into this. Do people really still need to be reminded of why it's important to wear a mask? That's absurd, but it's necessary, I suppose. I like what the NFL did. This is a reminder. This is a response to what's going on across the country. The numbers are spiking. They're rising around Thanksgiving. It could get worse before they get better. And it's a reaction, Mully. I think we both saw the stories. It's not so much in the facilities where this stuff is spreading and where they're worried about. It's once they leave the facilities and in the communities, and they're just, this is a reminder to, you know, just check yourself a little bit more and be careful and cautious and do the right things. And it also helps when you're talking about contact tracing, which is so important. So I was glad the NFL took these measures.
It's a pick six.
What do you think of the Bears bringing in former Notre Dame quarterback DeShone Kizer for a tryout? Does that speak to the availability of Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, or is it simply due diligence?
Well, maybe DeShone Kizer can live up to his potential that he came into the league with, and there were a lot of people, present company included, not me though, who thought he was going to be destined for greatness. And you know what? It's worth reminding people, he started more games as a rookie in 2017 than Mitch Trubisky did. He started 15 games for the Cleveland Browns. Wasn't very good, but that's remarkable that he did that. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what the book is on DeShone Kizer. I did expect more from DeShone Kizer in the NFL so far than he's delivered. And I'm not sure, he's got some raw talent. He was a good college quarterback. I don't know what it says about their depth. Maybe he's better than Kyle Slaughter. Maybe he's somebody they want to get into the system. Not sure. It's only a tryout, but it is a name that stands out for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you know, I liked him coming out, and I thought that he looked promising to me, but obviously he needed more time in college, if nothing else. And you feel bad for guys that don't make it after being in big programs and you think have like a little touch of something. I worry that it does speak about the availability of Nick Foles and Minsky, right? I mean, it's Foles, supposedly it's kind of a hip pointer type thing. You know, we haven't talked at all about Mitch and what's his motivation to play and whether he's motivated to play. And I think he is. I'm not taking a shot at him in any way, but I just wonder, heading into free agency behind that offensive line, if he's getting any advice about that. And I think if he's able to play, he'll play. But when a guy hurts his shoulder or his throwing arm and needs to bring in, needs to get a second opinion, you worry about that sort of thing. I think this is just due diligence. I don't think that they're necessarily going to sign the guy unless one of these guys isn't available.
That is a pick six!
Bears outside linebackers coach Ted Monachino admitted Wednesday that Robert Quinn, who has one sack after signing a $70 million contract, has to make a play. With so much focus on the offense, where does Quinn rank on a list of 2020 Bears disappointments, and is there a simple explanation?
You know, I'm sure there's a simple explanation, but he's right. He has to make a play, and I think the point he was making is that you can't get three sacks until you get the first one. You got to make a play on defense, and then you can start talking about how you get your numbers up and all that sort of thing. But he does need to make plays. He's just not living up to his contract, but he's not alone. I mean, it just seems like all the guys that they brought in, any veteran that they brought in here, has really struggled. And on the list of 2020 Bears disappointments, he heads that list because of the dollar signs that are next to his name. The only point I want to make about Robert Quinn, because we talk about it all the time with the money, if they had not decided to go get him, they would have brought Leonard Floyd back. Just so we remember that. So everybody keeps saying, why didn't they take that money and give it to an offensive lineman? That's only $2 or $3 million that would have been available to an offensive lineman, because they wanted another pass rusher and they were going to keep Leonard Floyd. And then this guy became available. They decided to make their move.
10 games in, I think you say you'd rather have Leonard Floyd given the way he's played
this year.
I mean, that's how bad Robert Quinn has been, or disappointing. And I think he's a symbol of the offseason futility with your Ryan Pace. I mean, yes, Nick Foles has been disappointing, but Robert Quinn came here and you thought, well, if Ryan Pace knows anything, he knows defense. But apparently, you know, Robert Quinn has been kind of non-existent. You know, he had that first snap and he had a sack. And you thought, oh my gosh, now I see what everybody else saw. I don't know what it is. Sometimes when players rushing the passer, or the elite pass rushers try too hard to make something happen, they fall into some bad habits. They take some chances, and maybe they were able to go this direction or make this move 2 years ago or 3 years ago or earlier in their career. Maybe that's not happening. If you have to watch them closely, more closely, to find out exactly what's not happening. But it could be just a fluky thing, but it's a bad thing. And he needs to get going, and he is, unfortunately, a symbol of the free agent misses in the past year for Ryan Pace.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Will the Cubs hire a new general manager under Jed Hoyer, or save some money by essentially having Hoyer do both jobs as president, GM, chief decision maker? Is that role an important one, and do you have any ideas?
Well, they got $10 million burning a hole in Tom Ricketts' pocket. I don't know what they're going to do with that. They could possibly... you know, add somebody to the mix. I don't know where Theo ended and Jed began. I'm not sure anybody really does. Does Jed need a sidekick? Does Jed need somebody who's, you know, in a collaborative role as the general manager? Could they save money? Is he more comfortable operating alone? These are questions we can ask him maybe next week when he does meet the media and get introduced as the new Cubs president. I always thought Tommy Hotovy was destined for the front office role with the Cubs. I don't want to take him out of the dugout and put him in the front office. I don't know if he aspires to do that, but I always thought that he would be a guy you could envision taking that move and taking that step. But I don't know. That's pure speculation, unfounded. I should probably not even have said it out loud. But there are guys like that in the organization, you know, that that fit a profile. But I just don't know how motivated they are to fill that job.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really interesting situation. I'm not sure. You know, you promote from within with Jed Hoyer. Does he now have to take somebody else with him and give somebody else a general manager's job? I don't know that he needs that. I'm not sure. And I'm going to be very curious to hear what he has to say about it. That ends up causing all sorts of problems, by the way, when you are promoting a guy and you're picking between one or two or three guys and it just seems kind of arbitrary. Well, I always liked him more than you. That can hurt feelings. You got to be careful about it. So
I'm
very curious. Yeah, exactly. I'm very curious about how they decide to go about it. But there are a lot of decisions to be made by the chief decision maker. I can't wait until we get to the Jed portion of the program to learn these sorts of things and how that money's allocated, who gets promoted, or if anyone does, and what are you doing now? What's the priority of the offseason? Are you making a deal? Are you not making a deal? Do you need to go get something? Are you bringing in 3 a.m. Tommy? I just think there's a lot of questions that are out there that you got to find out about, and we also got to find out some fantasy football questions. 312-644-6767. We got a ton to get to. true, but we don't want to forget your fantasy team. So Dave Richard, Chicago Guy Made Good, will join us next, and we'll talk some fantasy football.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Fresh! Fresh for fantasy. We cry. Hey. Fresh! Fresh for fantasy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dave Richard is Mr. Fantasy Football, CBS Sports. He's also a Chicago Guy Made Good, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
Gentlemen, good morning. How many days are too many days to still be upset over what you saw in a football game? Is it one day? Is it 2 days? Is it 6 months? I need an answer here, because I feel like I'm not a Bears fan anymore. It was when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like I got a cheapened version of professional football on Monday when the Bears and the Vikings played. Not from the Viking side of it. They held up their end of the bargain. But I couldn't have been more disappointed with the brand of football that I saw from the Bears. And obviously for fantasy purposes, the fact that Allen Robinson really didn't help people out, that actually helped me win a league. So maybe I should be grateful and not angry. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the next regime in Chicago does.
Dave, do you get points for throwing your helmet? Because Allen Robinson has done that a couple times this year. So maybe that could add to some sort of metric to include.
We should get bonus points for Allen Robinson catching bad throws, because he continues to make amazing plays. And, you know, his frustration is totally understandable. He's a great receiver who just, if he got good Nick Foles every week or good Mitchell Trubisky every week, he shouldn't be angry. That's what I would say. All right. I know those guys aren't Pro Bowlers year in and year out. Can you believe Trubisky was a Pro Bowler, by the way? That's incredible. Bottom line is this. I feel like if Robinson had a great quarterback, he'd be one of the great receivers in the NFL. The fact that he's dealing with, you know, solid quarterbacks who can sometimes play well and can sometimes be really, really messy. The fact that he's still putting up the numbers that he does is good, but I missed those numbers on Monday. And I think a lot of fantasy managers did too. I'll say one good thing. The run defense did the best it could. Especially after Akeem Hicks went down against Dalvin Cook. We talked to Dalvin Cook on our on a show that we did last night, and Dalvin told us that he hates playing the Bears. He sees 52 and 96 in his nightmares, and they're the toughest matchup that he faces twice a year. So I think the Bears' defense still deserves credit, but the offense, blah.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I know what schoolboy allegiance is, and it's difficult to get past those things. But just in order to send a message to the rest of my fantasy team, I have benched all my Bears. And that's going to go on beyond the bye week, okay? Another game.
You've got to go a step further, Molly. You've got to cut all the Bears. You've got to really send a message to everybody in your league. You're saying, you know what? This team isn't going to help me win a championship. I don't know if you really cut Allen Robinson. That might be a bad move, but everything else. Darnell Mooney, goodbye. Nick Foles, goodbye. David Montgomery, we don't know when you're going to be back. Goodbye. Just send the message to the rest of your league.
So don't go rushing out to sign Ryan Nall.
I don't know why the Bears rushed out to sign Ryan Nall.
All right, Dave, your public seeks you. Let's get to the phone line. Scott is in North Aurora. Scott, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hey, I need a flex and a receiver out of these three. I already got Tyreek Hill starting, but I need Thielen, Claypool, or Higgins. And I need one flex, one receiver.
Okay. Are you sure you don't want to start Darnell Mooney? I mean, let's just be clear. Let's see if we can get somebody. No, we don't want to do that? Okay, fine. Look, hey, you've got great receivers. I really like T. Higgins. I really think that he can step up. Washington, on paper, has a good pass defense. I think they've only allowed 5 touchdowns to receivers all year, but I think Cincinnati's going to have to throw in this game, and Higgins looks like the real deal, so I like him. And as great as Claypool was last week, I can't ignore Adam Thielen, the matchup in the slot against Dallas. A little little bit worried that this could be a game where Dalvin Cook goes off, but Cook is coming off of a game where he had 30 carries. We all saw it, and it was on Monday. So maybe they've got to lean on the pass a little bit more. And this came to fruition on Monday, and it was something that surprised me. In games where the Vikings running back doesn't have 15 or more PPR points, much better opportunity for Thielen to have 15 PPR points. And that's exactly what happened on Monday. I don't think there's necessarily a chance that that's going to happen, but it could be against the Cowboys. They could both put up 15 points.
Let's go to Chris in Pilsen. Chris, you are on with Dave Richard.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I need one in for a flex, non-PPR. I got T. Higgins, Chase Edmonds, or the running back Ahmad from Miami. I'll hang up.
Savon Ahmed. Ahmed has been good, but T. Higgins, for the same reasons I told the previous caller, I love the upside that he has. One of the reasons why you start anybody in fantasy is because of that massive upside, and Higgins is going to be a number one receiver for the Bengals for the next 5+ years. His connection with Joe Burrow is undeniable, and he's going to be a handful for Washington's defense on Sunday.
Fun game tonight just because it features a couple of quarterbacks, and you play those guys no matter what. But are there any players that jump out at you tonight with Arizona and in Seattle?
You know, one guy that does is Carlos Hyde, who he's going to play. He should be the starter for Seattle. There's already been a report that Chris Carson won't make the game. And you think about the tough spot that Arizona's defense is in. They play it on Sunday afternoon. They had this thrilling emotional victory with the Hail Mary. And now they're going up to Seattle without Corey Peters. He's a big defensive tackle. He's done for the year. Without Jordan Phillips, he's another good defensive lineman. And possibly without Devondre Campbell, one of their starting linebackers. So those are three guys from their front seven on a short week where their defense played 73 snaps on the road against Seattle and Carlos Hyde, who's got fresh legs because he's been sitting out with an injury for the past few weeks. I think this is a matchup where Hyde can actually go off. He's going to be in all of my DFS lineups, and I see him as a number two running back this week. I think, and he's available. He's out there in like half of CBSSports.com leagues, literally a starting running back. We crave this type of thing in fantasy. You can get him, and you can start him.
Dave, we got a texter who's wondering, are there any defenses to target for the final push headed into the playoffs?
You know, it's funny. People have come at me with the idea that the Seattle defense is the one to get. After this matchup, their schedule lightens considerably, and that might be good for their offense for sure, but I don't know if I want to trust their defense. That today might be a good idea to just watch their defense and see, okay, could they actually put up some fantasy points for me down the stretch? I'm nervous that they won't be that type of defense. I don't like to trust a bad DST, even when they get good matchups, because a bad DST is a bad DST. They've got bad players on defense. So it's one of the reasons why I can't trust the Lions DST outside of like a streaming unit. But the Dolphins are still out there in a handful of leagues. They've been playing really, really well. They're not a bad DST. And I wonder if Mike Zimmer's really working his magic now. You could say that the Bears' offense was terrible and all that jazz. That's true, but they've started to play better defense the past couple of weeks, and if they put up big numbers against the Cowboys' offense, maybe hold the Cowboys to 13 or 20 points, something like that, maybe we can buy back into Minnesota's defense coming around here for the home stretch.
Dave, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Great going over this stuff with you, and you're a champion for sticking with us.
Hang in there, Dave.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I appreciate the sentiments, and I'll hang out on Twitter if anybody's got any questions at Dave Richard.
Okay, great. We'll send everyone your way, and there are tons of people with questions. David, we've got a new bull in town. We've got to get into it. We've got to talk about what it means. One of the things that I loved hearing about this guy is that by all accounts, Patrick Williams, his growth spurt came late, which meant he was ball handling and he was doing stuff. I know this is a completely different type of reality, but I remember reading Breaks of the Game, one of the great sports books out there. If you ever get a chance, I would highly recommend it. It's about the Portland Trailblazers winning an NBA title. It's about Bill Walton, and it's David Halberstam, and it's one of my I was lucky enough to meet him and tell him what that book meant to me. But in it, they talk about how Bill Walton kind of had the late growth spurt, grew up playing basketball as a point guard, and then became one of the great centers in the game because he understood the floor differently. I think that's a huge benefit for anyone.
And it made Bill Walton a terrific passer. That was what set him apart, among other things. And also, Mully, a more recent example of that that came to mind last night when they were talking about this was Anthony Davis. You know, we saw him in right. Chicago. And I'm not saying that Patrick Williams is going to become Anthony Davis, but they've followed similar paths in that they had late growth spurts. And I think Anthony Davis handled the ball well. And when you're developing as a player and you learn the ball handling skills, they stay with you when you're, you know, 6'8" or 6'9" or 7 feet tall. And that's important to remember, because Patrick Williams looks pretty fluid when you watch him on tape. And for those who remember seeing him at Florida State.
All right. We should tell everyone that we are giving away the gift of the year, my gift of the year, the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. We're going to give away one each day this week. We've got a couple more for you. This is an unbelievable item, believe me. If you get a chance to get one of these things, don't miss it. Call in, make sure you get it, and go ahead. I just got some more tubes arrived yesterday, David. I am I'm planning a Thanksgiving, even though no one's coming. Apparently, I'm going to be having the time of my life.
You're drinking for 10?
That's what it looks like, sadly. All right, we're going to get to KC Johnson. We'll find out what the Bulls man from NBC Sports Chicago, how he breaks this down, what he thinks of this player, and where, how close did they come to making any kind of deal? And we'll ask him if he's disappointed, relieved, or indifferent. So that's one of my favorite questions. I feel all those emotions. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.